الحمد لله، الصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على محمد رسول الله سيد الأولين والآخرين وإمام الأنبياء والمرسلين الشافع المشفع يوم الدين، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن استنى بسنته واهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين. ما بعد، dear brothers and sisters, حياكم الله to the translation of the khutbah of today, which was originally titled by the ayah of Surah Al-Takathur, ألهاكم التكاثر, the increasement in wealth and children made you to be headless towards what you are created for. But as I mentioned in the first part of the Arabic khutbah today, for some reasons that I saw, my beloved people, those whom I be happy to see in the masjid, those who I ask Allah Ta'ala to make me see them once again in the Jannah, I see them today ignoring all the guidances given, all the teachings given. They just ignore. They are just headless. They are just being betrayed by the wealth of this world, worldly life. They just ignore. Whatever said to them, they just ignore. What is the benefit of the reminders? What is the benefit of the strikes given to the hearts or on the hearts? What is the benefit of that? What is the benefit of every Friday's khutbah, sermon? What is the benefit? When you guys are less effective with what you hear, are less responding to what you are taught, what is the benefit? Why would one spend long time searching and preparing the sermon, the khutbah, taking a lot of his time, putting him in an stress, putting him in very high stress because of what he wants to bring to his own people of the good advice, but his own people always threw it from the window? What is the benefit? It becomes something like a tradition, a culture, a habit. People come to the masjid on Friday after taking shower, putting on nice clothes, wearing some perfume. They come just like a celebration day. They don't get any advantage of that. No advantage of that, ya ikhwan. Why would the wa'ad, the reminders, keep reminding if it is not the command of Allah? That's the only thing make us continue reminding. As Allah Ta'ala said to Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, ذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Remind. As a reminder benefits the believers. It means those who are not benefited, question mark. Question mark. Those who are not benefited from the reminders, then a question mark, a big question mark. I wanted to talk about this ayah, Al-Hakum al-Takathur, as I prepared for it. As I spent a bit long time preparing for it. But unfortunately, when I came to start the speech, start reading from the text that I wrote, as you see, I found myself forced not to speak about the reminder, but the consequence. As we gave too many reminders. Last Friday, I spoke about people coming to the masjid in the Jum'ah while the khatib is giving the khutbah, and they come sit at the back of the masjid only for them to lean their backs. Ya akhi, if you can't sit at the first row because there is nothing to lean your back to, remember that long day which equals 50,000 years. You are standing, no way to sit. Wallahi, you are not going to sit. Wallahi, you are not allowed to sit. Standing only. And if you sit, you die. Not meaning dying, meaning end of life. But you die because of the sweat which is going to go high. Prepare yourself from now, akhi. What's this childish? What's this carelessness? Even when you come to the reminder, the whole preparation you make, a shower, nice clothes, nice perfume. That's it. Where is your heart? Your heart, where is it? Your heart is still outside. Too many times they complain. You have too many drus, too many classes in the masjid. You give long khutbah, 20, 30 minutes, long khutbah. But the football game, 90 minutes, is not long. Sitting on solid concrete seats. Staying there from 2-3 hours before the game even starts. That is not too long. Sitting behind the TV screen, watching a movie of 1 hour length, that is not too long. That is not too long. When it comes to the reminder, teachings, that is too long. That is too long. Or you give us too much information. But the newspaper of 48 pages, reading it from the front to the, from the first to the last, that is not too much information. Reading books combined by Joel and Jones and whatsoever, that is not too much. But when it comes to the Quran, to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is too much. Subhanallah. Too much. You are putting too much information to our minds. And if you ask him about every single thing in this world, they know. They know. They know about the computer. They know about the smartphones. They know about the satellite. They know about the planets. They know about even the planets. But they don't know about their prayer. How to pray. They don't know. They don't know. Wallahi, they don't know. They just come and pray at the back. People going forth and coming in front of them. They don't know that their prayer is already nullified. Already nullified. They don't care. They don't care. Today we don't need a reminder. We need the stick of Umar. Wallahi, we need the stick of Umar. Because our people are careless about their deen. They talk about everything and every other thing, but not about what is obligatory upon them. They don't know it. And if they know it, they just ignore it. They don't implement it. They know that speaking during the khutbah nullifies the khutbah, removes the reward. But they still don't care. They don't care. They claim that they love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Where is the proof? Most of the masjid shaving their beards. Where is the proof? Prove it. Prove it. You love Muhammad? Prove it. In more than 5 ahadith, he commanded, they say sunnah. No, it is wajib. They say makruh to shave. No, it is haram to shave. It is haram. Don't tell me, Sheikh so-and-so said, I am telling you, Rasulullah said. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wear your beard, grow it, leave it, be kind with it. Don't shave it, don't imitate the Majus. He said literally like that. You come and tell me Sheikh so-and-so said, it's okay. No, it is not. No, it is not okay. It is forbidden to shave. It is forbidden to shave, to cut it even forbidden. Don't try to convince me that your wife doesn't like to see you like that. Because your wife never wished to marry another wife, another woman. You're shaving like her now. Coming to the Jum'ah, going to the barber shop, shaving it, cleaning, saying, not by your tongue, but by your action, please take the shape of Muhammad from me. I don't want the shape of Muhammad. That's what is the meaning of it. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, leave it, wear it, etc. But he still shave it. Why? Is it because you love Muhammad or you love John? Speak the truth. You wish the intercession of whom on the day of resurrection? How would Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam know you, recognize you? When Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala had the cancer and they sent him to America for treatment, they told him that he must get the chemotherapy. He asked, what are the consequences of it? They said, all of your hair drops. He said, even my beard? They said, yes. He said, no. I prefer to die with cancer than to die without beard. No. I don't want to go on the day of resurrection without beard. Subhanallah. He's not told to shave it. He's not told to shave it. But he is feeling sorry to die without a beard. Today they claim that of Muhammad. And everyone write on big font on his back windshield, except Rasulullah. Look to this coward. Are you the one going to defend Rasulullah? Huh? Like you, when he sees the kuffar, he runs, escapes like a rat. The kuffar never worry about rats. They worry about lions. Lions. As Shaykh Abu Bakr al-Jazairi, the teacher in Masjid Rasulullah s.a.w. said one day, do you know why they sell the blades for you? Do you know why they make all this commerce for it? It is because they are scared of lions. And you Muslims with beard, you are like lions. You are like lions. Male lions. Male lions. Look to the jungle. Who's the king there? Lion. What does he look like? Big beard. Big beard. These kuffar get scared and afraid of beards. If the whole Muslim ummah have their beards worn, wallahi, you will see changes in their lives. One day in Canada, a brother told me that 5 or 6 Libyans applied for the asylum. The judge approved only 5, and he denied one, rejected one. The one asked him, excuse me, why you rejected me? He said, because they all wear beards. You don't. How come I expect that you are like them? No, there's a big difference. They are accused for their deen, for their religion. But you're not. You and the Qaddafi, same. You're all clean shaven. So how come you convince me that you are accused? Look at that. He's a kafir judge. He's not Muslim. He's kafir. But he realized that Muslims, those are the ones who wear their beards. They say they love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they never, yani very rarely seen in the masjid. They say they love Muhammad. They only come very late to the Jum'ah. They say they love Muhammad. They come to the Jum'ah and sit at the back, although Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, come and sit to the front. They say they love Muhammad, although Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, don't talk when you come to the Jum'ah. But they still talk to each other. They say they love Muhammad. And they still listen to the music and put music on their phones. They still love Muhammad. And they still do not know how to read the Quran. They still don't know how to read the Quran. It's not because they are non-Arabs. La. Most of the scholars are non-Arabs. Most of the scholars are non-Arabs. Don't take an excuse and say, I'm not Arab. No. Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim, Abu Dawood, etc., etc. Till today, most of the scholars are non-Arabs. Imam Albani wasn't Arab. The Imam of the whole dunya today, he wasn't Arab. But he learned. He spent time. He could have spent time in something else. He was expert in watches. He could have been a maker, watch maker, but he decided not to. He decided not to spend his time for dunya, but for akhirah. Ya ikhwan, it is only the carelessness of akhirah. If you want the truth, it is only the carelessness of akhirah. Our deen is at the bottom of our list of priority. They say in England they say, priorities goes like this: woman, dog, child, man. And we laugh at them. Today, in the Muslim world, religion is even below everything. Below everything. That's the situation of the Muslims today. And that's why we are big in number. 1.6 billion. But we cannot even do nothing to our Arkani brothers in Burma, watching them being burnt alive. We only cry, United Nations, please, United Nations, please. We see the Alawi Kafir regime in Syria killing our brothers and sisters day and night. We can do nothing, only please, United Nations, please. We see our brothers in Somalia die of hunger, and we still, please, Red Cross, please, Red Cross. It's all what we are good in. This is because we are the most ignorant ummah of their religion. Most ignorant ummah. Why? Because we don't want to learn it. And when we learn, we don't want to act upon it. And when we act, we are not sincere with that. We are not sincere with that. No struggle with the soul. No struggle with the heart. In the past, Shaitan used to have hard time to mislead the former Muslims. Today, Shaitan is putting his chair and sitting drinking tea. Because Muslims today themselves are deviating. Everyone wants to find an excuse. Wallahi, we are not going to succeed in this world and in the hereafter unless we go behind Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wallah, if we go along with him thinking that we are like him, we can think and can find the truth, wallahi to the hell. Wallah, we are only going to the hell. It's not me who say that. It's Allah Ta'ala said it in the Quran. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ Nay, by your Lord, they are not going to be believers. In truth, meaning, they claim, but they are not. حتى يحكموك فيما شجر بينهم. Up until they take you as a judge in every differing situation that occurs between them. ثم لا يجد في أنفسهم حرجا مما قضيت. And then they will never find any hesitation in whatsoever judgment you make. ويسلموا تسليما. And they submit to you and your judgment completely. And here Allah Ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولِ He who opposes the messenger مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى After the guidance is brought forth to him clearly وَيَتَّبِعَ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ And he follows a way other than the way of the believers, meaning the Sahaba. نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى We'll let him go with what he chosen. وَنُصْلِهِ جَهَنَّمَ But in the day of resurrection, the only place he's going to go to is the blazing fire. The blazing fire. وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا And what a bad end of it. And here Allah Ta'ala said, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِ يَحْبِبْكُمْ اللَّهَ Say, O Muhammad, to them all, if you are honest in your claim that you love Allah, anybody can claim that claim. Anybody can say that he loves Allah. Anybody. But what is the proof? Follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, where is it? We all are good in shaking heads. Where is it? Let me see it. I can't see it on your face. You are shaving your beard. How you are following Muhammad? I can't see it on your attendance in the masjid. How come that you are following Muhammad? I can't see it in your understanding to the deen. Where is it now that you love Muhammad? You love Allah. That you love Allah. I can't see it on your family who go and expose their fitna part of their body outside. I can't see it. Where is it? Where is the Muslim Ummah today? Where is it? You need a binocular to see the Muslim Ummah today. Wallahi, you need a binocular to see the Muslim Ummah. In reality, the Muslims, the real Muslims, you need a hard time to find them. They are there, alhamdulillah. Some in India, some in Saudi, some in Yemen, some here, some there. They are there, but they are very some. Very, very little in number. What about the rest? The majority? What are they doing? Playing, kidding. It's not correct, Ikhwan. We need to wake up. We need to wake up. In the second khutbah, I read a story of one of the Salaf, of the pious predecessors, called Al-Haris ibn Hammam. He said, I found my heart went hard, became very hard. When I came to the land of Sawa, it's a city. He said, then I took the hadith, which says that treat your heart by visiting the graves. So I went to the graveyard, and I saw a number of people digging a grave. And a deceased body is already put aside. So I came to them thinking of my end. I'm going to be like him. And remembering those of my family who are already there. So when they finished burying the dead, and for him, it's already over to say, I wish. For him, that's finished. There, a man, an old man from Rubawa, another city, came carrying with him a shovel. And he covered his face, he rubbed his face. And then he said, لمثل هذا فليعمل العاملون. This is an ayah. For the same ill, let those who want to survive on that day work from now. Work from now, act from now, do the good deeds. فَاتَّكِرُوا أَيُّهَا الْغَافِلُونَ. So remember, O you headless ones. وَشَمِّرُوا أَيُّهَا الْمُقَصِّرُونَ. And fold your sleeves. What does that mean? Get ready for work. When you want to dig, you don't dig with loose sleeves. You will fold your sleeves and start digging. So if you want to work, then now start. وَأَحْسِنُوا النَّظَرَ أَيُّهَا الْمُتَبَصِّرُونَ. And have a good sight in all you who want to see their way. مَا لَكُمْ لَا يَحْزُنُكُمْ دَفْنُ الْأَتْرَابِ. Why burying your colleagues does not make you feel sorry? وَلَا يَهُولُكُمْ هَيْلُ التُرَابِ. And your act in throwing the soil over him does not make you fear? لا تعبؤون بنوازل الأحداث. You see the crisis occurring here and there every day. Crisis, too many crises. والله يا إخوان, when it started, which they call it the Arab Spring, when it's starting in Tunisia, their neighbors, the Libyans, the Egyptians, even the Syrians and the Yemenis, never thought that it will come to them. They all were saying, oh, these are Masakeen, these are Asiya, oh look. But it came to them. It came to them. Now, where is the preparation for it? There is no preparation. Where is the tears that one can have when he sees this deceased body about to be buried? And when he threw the soil over it, where are the tears? Why these eyes become so hard like the heart? Aren't they think, don't they think that they, one day they are going to be there? Anyway, it's a long reminder from this Imam, which all goes around what I said, and then I end it up by a poem that he made as a reminder. I don't find myself ready to translate it for you because it takes long time, and I really became very tired of the khutbah of today. But I ask Allah Ta'ala to wake up our hearts and make us from those who listen to the reminder and get the best of it. And make us from those whom Allah Ta'ala chooses to be from the best of His slaves and servants. May Allah Ta'ala forgive all of our sins and make us from those who go fast towards the Lord. May Allah Ta'ala make us from the reminders of others, and not to make us as a proof to the others. May Allah Ta'ala make us from those who get the reminders from the others, from what happened to the others. May Allah forgive us and our parents and all the Muslims. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Wa sallallahu sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi. Go ahead, Akh Hanif. Send your question, please. and Hussein as well. Let me just get these two questions here. طيب, here is a brother called Hanif asking, السلام عليكم وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. Is there any problem with taking to the others such as our family through live videos? Also, do you have a special time to talk or to take phone calls? Inshallah, يعني call after about 1 hour or half an hour, inshallah we can take. In regard to the videos, the ulama have different opinions. Some of them say it is permissible, and I honestly take this opinion if it is, يعني, especially when it is necessary. Wallahu a'lam. But if you leave it, of course it would be better. Hussein says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hussein, you can speak. I have recently begun taking Islam more serious and have grown to love the statements and works of Yahya al-Hujuri and his students in Dammaj. What do you say of him and his students? Also give me nasiha on how not to fall into taqleed al-a'ma. Barakallahu. First of all, Yahya al-Hujuri is one of the major students of knowledge of our time. Him and all the brothers in Yemen, the like of Abdul Rahman al-Adani, Abdul Aziz al-Bura'i, Muhammad al-Imam, Muhammad al-Wasabi, and many others. Not only these ones, but many others of those brothers in Yemen who raised the Quran and Sunnah and teaches the people the Quran and Sunnah. Those all are people to take knowledge from. Them and the brothers in India, in Pakistan, in Africa, in Europe, here in Saudi, in Medina, in Mecca, in Riyadh, there are many ulama, but the important thing is, what do they raise? If they raise the Quran and Sunnah, Allah said and the Messenger said, then take from them. Of course, every mankind, other than the prophets and messengers, have their own mistakes. They can make mistakes. They have mistakes. So whatever mistake you know, you avoid. You don't follow people on their mistakes. As the Prophet ﷺ said, وَطِّنُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Prepare yourself. إِذَا أَحْسَنَ النَّاسُ فَأَحْسِنُوا. When the people do good, you do good like them. وَإِذَا أَسَاءُوا فَاجْتَنِبُوا إِسَاءَتَهُمْ. And whenever they mistake, so you avoid their mistakes. But I cannot say that al-Hujuri is the only Salafi and the others are not Salafis. No, that's not correct. Yahya al-Hujuri and the brothers I named in Yemen are all Abu the Sunnah. The like of Sheikh Ubaid al-Jabiri, Muhammad ibn Hadi in Medina. The like of Sheikh Rabi' al-Madkhali in Mecca. All and others. And others. Many others. Are all al-Sunnah. Even if we find some of the criticism from one against another, we should not get involved into that. Unless we find the bid'ah from this person, then we avoid. But a mistake is a mistake. We still avoid the mistake. But when we see the bid'ah, we avoid the doer of the bid'ah, the innovator. And we need to go back to the major scholars, the like of Sheikh Abdul Aziz al-Sheikh, Sheikh Salah al-Fawzan, Sheikh Salah al-Haydan, Sheikh Abdul Muhsin al-Abbad. These are yani, the major scholars in our time today. Sheikh Wasiullah in Mecca, Sheikh Muhammad Adam in Mecca as well. These are the major scholars of our time. So we need to go back to them whenever the people are differing. Whenever, but we don't go for any and everything. Some brothers, yani, they go with nonsenses. Just silly things. Now, if there is a thing that is unclear to you, that is a mistake, then you ask the ulama. And without causing the fitna between Ahl-Sunnah, we are already little in number. Please do not split us more and more. Please, we are only now very little number scattered around the world. Don't start like you, yani, making the fitna in Yemen, in India, in Medina, in Mecca, in Kuwait, in Africa, in America, in Europe. No, that's not correct, Ikhwan. And this is in the name of defending the Sunnah. But that is not correct. It does not necessarily mean that when you are up on the Sunnah that you never make mistake. La. You are not a prophet. You are not perfect. But we need to advise one another. الدين النصيحة, as in the hadith of Tamim al-Dari in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet ﷺ said, this religion is based on nasiha. And nasiha is not to yani, come speak harshly with me or speak and backbite me to the others. That's not nasiha. That's not nasiha, no way. You write against me on the internet and you say this is nasiha. This is not nasiha. This is not nasiha. Nasiha to approach me nicely and quietly and say that yani, I saw these mistakes from you. Then I can tell you why I said it. Maybe I have other dalil that you did not see. Maybe I was yani, ignorant of that and I said, Jazakallah khair, you made it clear to me. Now, Hanif again saying, may Allah bless you, Ameen. Is there any problem with talking to others? Such as, now we already talking to others. There he said taking. Alright, it's all the same. As I said, using the video link is no problem. Especially when it is video link, meaning it is not saved. Even when it is saved, many ulama said it is okay. Because it's not the surah that Rasulullah warned against. But if you can avoid saving it, would be better. Would be better, inshallah. Saleh from Gambia, go ahead. Saleh says, Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh. We miss you over here. Allah ybarik fikum. I miss you too, Hazrat. I miss every Salafi and Sunni brother. Salam from all the brothers. Alaykum wa alayhim assalam. Please, what was the finding regarding the question that was raised a few weeks back about the woman suckling her baby whilst in Salah? Yes, I think I sent it, but I don't know when and where. I found the answer from some of the ulama, like Sheikh, as I remember, like Sheikh Ibn Baz, and they said that this is not from the act of Salah, and this nullifies the Salah. The mother cannot breastfeed her baby while performing the Salah. But she can make the Salah, if the baby cries, she can make the Salah fast and finish it as Rasulullah did when he was leading the prayer, and he heard the baby crying, he made his Salah fast. And then he said, he justified that. After Salah, he said, I wanted to go long in my Salah. But when I hear the baby crying, I decided to make it short so the mother does not yani, get worried about her baby. So this mother, and instead of yani, suckling her baby in Salah, she can make her Salah faster and then finish and then breastfeed the baby, والله أعلم. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه. جزاكم الله خير. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.